Buddy, this week's R&R is brought to you by Everything Ever, which is a very cool party game from Floodgate Games. I've got a promo of it right here, and I gotta say, Jen and I have enjoyed it as a two-player game, which is pretty rare for party games. How does it work? Well, at any given time, there are two cards on display, and when your turn comes up, you've got to name something that hasn't already been said by somebody else that fits. So, I might say ping pong and beagles, let's say, and phew, I made it through. And then it's somebody else's turn, and they might say, huskies, and they freeze. They can't think of another in-game sport. And so what do they do? Well, everybody has a hand of three cards. And so they might say, I don't really like that one. I'm going to replace it with this. And they say, movie series with more than three, Star Wars. And then it's somebody else's turn, and somebody else says, Star Trek and Dachshunds. And then somebody else says, wait, Are there three movies in Back to the Future? How many movies are there in Godfather? Terminator, and Poodles, and so on. And what it keeps going, and other people might freeze up, and so they change the dogs with every Lee, Bruce Lee, or what have you. Sooner or later, though, folks, somebody is going to be frozen, can't think of a word, can't replace it with something else, and then whatever they can't think of, they've got to take those as negative points. And then a new one comes out, and the game continues. It is super sharp, high tension, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. But, don't take my word for it, folks. Well, I think you have a copy of this game, right? Why don't you all just play around and show the good folks just how much fun it is.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks, Richard. And yes, we do have a copy of the game here, Everything Ever, as we can see. Welcome, folks, to the R&R show. My name's Ruel, hanging out with Chris and Ray, as usual. Yes, it's a time for celebration. Thank you for that, Chris. I love that you do that every single time. It never gets old, my friend. This is awesome. Everything Ever. I've got a copy of the game here, and we're going to play around, just like Richard said. You're going to have two cards here. Now, obviously, in real life, Chris and Ray would have three cards in front of them, but we're playing this virtually to show y'all how fun it is. The first two categories here, everything that comes in twos, and then everything Jennifer. So either Jen or Jenny. And you're going to name that. And let's see, we'll just go in order of the screen here. Ray, I'm going to have you go first. And if you can name those things, then we'll go to Chris, and then we'll go to me.
And we got 5 second timer. Hey?
Yes, we'll do 5 seconds.
Let's
do
it.
So let's be 10 seconds.
Not even do 10.
We'll do 5. Yeah, we'll do 5.
Yeah, all right. Let's do 5. Let's ratchet it up.
Okay.
I hate this that I put it. And if we shout card, then it's like we're playing one of our cards.
Correct.
Right?
And I'll just draw one from the deck here. There's a ton of cards in this game, folks.
And then we'll pause and you'll tell us, because it's hard for a little hard for me to see on our backstage view, because we can see all of us.
Exactly. Okay. So we got everything that comes in twos and every Jennifer. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I go first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Socks and Jennifer Lawrence.
Boom.
No. Oh, no. Gloves and Jennifer Hamm.
Oh, Jennifer Hamm. Nice. Okay. I'm gonna go with Jennifer Lopez and things that comes in twos. Oh my gosh. 5, 4, 3. Did we say socks or gloves? Yeah, we did.
We
said both of them.
Oh, my God. Both the things we said.
Okay. So I have missed. So I would draw, or I guess I should have said card so I can replace this one. So that's what I'm going to do.
Say cards.
I would have three cards in my hand, but again, we're just doing this. I'm going to go here. Hey, every dog movie. Okay. So every dog movie, every Jennifer. So do I will say every dog movie. So there is a movie. Was it Air Bud is the dog movie I can think of.
Okay. Oh God. That's the only dog movie I can think of too. So I'm going to say card. Give me something else.
Okay.
I can't do it.
Not Air Bud 2 World Pup, not Air Bud 3 Most Valuable Pup, Air Bud 4 Air Bud Plays Frisbee.
Chris is an expert on Air Bud. Every band or musician with a food in its name. Every band or musician with a food in its name. Wow.
Oh, God. That's so much harder than it.
2, 1.
The Cranberries and Jennifer Aniston.
Nice.
Get it away from me.
Did you say Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was my Jennifer.
Oh, well,
sucks to suck. No. I was trying to see. I'm gonna not cheat with chat, but I have. Okay. I'm saying Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I'm saying Card.
Yeah, I got a high chat as well.
And are you saying Card for Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm saying Card for Jennifer because I don't know
Jennifer's. Every tree, Chris.
The larch.
The larch. What? Really? That's a tree. Okay.
Yeah, it's a larch tree.
Okay.
It's a bit poisonous.
Okay.
And it's a bit from Monty Python.
Oh, okay. So back to me. I will say for every band or musician with a food name, Pearl Jam, right? Jam or jelly. And then tree, obviously I'm going to go with the one on the card here, palm tree.
Okay, I'm going to do pine tree and Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow, nice, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's really good.
That's excellent.
I'm going to say birch tree. Did we say birch?
Birch is good.
No, we said birch. And then I'm going to say the chaotic blueberries.
Okay. Is that a real band? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally.
I've never heard of it.
It's my favorite band, the chaotic blueberries. they got great music. They're like folk punk.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So I'm calling shenanigans. So what you would do, first I would say, okay, I'll allow it, but watch yourself, counselor. And then if we do a second one, then you're out of order. Yeah. chaotic blueberries.
You all cut out there for a second for me.
Yeah.
Right. Were you saying something not about the chaotic blueberry? Because you cut out. You cut out for me.
Yeah. So
Look it up. Look it up.
Okay, we'll look it up. So what we're gonna do, just for sake of we're playing. So if you could not think of anything, then you would take the stack of cards as penalty. Mm-hmm. As a penalty. Okay. And then later on, if you played something where it had both clues or both categories, something that played in both categories, you get a bonus. And that means the penalty cards, you can get rid of one. So that's how you get rid of your bonus, your penalties. And that's the game, folks. That's everything ever from our sponsor, Floodgate Games. So there you go.
I like that. That's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I really wanted to get something that matched both, but it's hard.
Those were super hard. Yeah.
That's tricky. But it's really I love that mechanic. I love that idea that it's two separate pieces of trivia, but if you can happen to think of something that is technically an answer for both.
So cool.
I think that's really clever and really cool. And I'd love to play this in person to get
And I kid you not. Okay, I literally pulled the next card off the deck. I got to show this one to Chris. This is every William Shakespeare play.
Come on. Game over. Game over. I got all 39, baby.
Exactly. But hey, thanks again to Floodgate Games for sponsoring our show today. This is episode 85. We're going to be talking about the top 12 spring games because by the time you see this on YouTube, folks, spring will be here. Winter is over. It's the season of renewal and growth. And I don't know what else it's. What did Shakespeare say about spring, Chris? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Well, he said, now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York. But that's
words
doesn't
to live
hit
by.
Spring. So
I have that tattooed, actually.
Do you really? No, come on.
No. I have that exact one with Chris's ums and pauses, like the dot, dot.
Raise a fan.
Nice.
Raise a fan.
Nice. Well, in the spirit of that, why don't we get to the list? We're going to be doing our top 12 spring games. By the way, folks, we do an extended edition of the show. We do this live on Twitch, and we had a lot. Speaking of shenanigans, we had a really good time before the show. So be sure to click on the link below to see us play a really fun game. And Chris and Ray were amazing, and you're gonna see all the shenanigans on the extended edition. But we're here for a list of top 12 spring games, and we're gonna kick things off with our Shakespeare quoting friend Chris. What do you have for us?
Let me tell you, my number 12 is Power Plants. Power Plants is by KDBG, and this is great because I'm definitely not doing this for a second time. I'm doing it the first time, and I won't stumble over myself this time. Power Plants is awesome. I played this with a good group of gamers who have played a lot of games before, and now I've also played this with gamers who have like really not played any games at all, and it has hit in both cases. And I really, really appreciate that about this game, especially because there are a lot of rules that could be in this game. The basics of this game is you have two tiles in front of you. You put one of those tiles into a collective of tiles in the center, and then you can take either the sprout action, which is the main strong action of whatever tile you put forward, or you take the grow action of every other tile that it's touching. And so it's a really interesting balance of, do I do this really good action, or is there a strategic spot on the board where I can do a bunch of little mini actions that net me a bunch of points? And it's area control, because you're basically creating these large clusters of fields of the same type of plant, and you're adding sprites to these plants. And only one player's sprites can be on each different tile. And if you're going to add sprites to a tile where another player has sprites on it, you just kick those other sprites off, and then your sprites die in the process. They kind of fizzle out. I like to think of the sprites just running into each other and combusting in a fiery flame of spring, and really, really helping spring, you know, sprung. Sprout. But so there's eight different types of tiles, and you always play with five of them. And that makes the setup a little bit annoying, because you just have to take the tiles out. But like, it's not that frustrating, especially when you're setting up like a large big box game. It's very simple to do. I just leave all the tiles in the bag. And if you ever pull out a tile that you're not playing with, then you just throw it away in the box. Super easy to play. And each one of those plants has a different action. And there's also an alternate power as well. So altogether, you have 16 different powers of plants that are meshing with each other. You choose five for each game, and they all kind of work uniquely. Plays 30 minutes to an hour, super quick. The last game I played with three new players took an hour, and that was them with the teach and with playing the game and with learning what all of like the five different powers were and having to reference and remember them and keep that information in their head, because it's essentially 10 powers, a sprout, and then a grow action. But yeah, it's really solid. It has to do with plants, so therefore you can play it in the spring. And I think you could play it outside. We didn't talk about this, how we came up with our lists. Mm-hmm. I didn't specifically pick things that you can play outside, but I know that was a consideration or what we were thinking about. But this is a bonus where you could actually play this one outside. No problem. You just kind of weigh the little plants down, the papers down with the box, because all the tiles are chunky. Really great production quality. I always find KDBG has really solid production quality. Mm-hmm. Same with their parent, their other sister company, Burnt Island. I find both of them always have really good production quality in the retail version specifically. Yeah, really, really great game.
Yeah. I love Kids Table Board Game. Their titles are always accessible, but surprisingly strategic, I guess. Wreck Raiders is one I always think of. It's almost like a Steffenfeld light game, where it's very point salad-y, but super accessible for families and early gamers. So I haven't played Power Plants yet, so I'm looking forward to this, Chris. It's
great.
This looks good.
Yeah, it's exactly everything I hoped it would be.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to just quickly echo that. I have actually not played this one either, but Kids Table is amazing. You touched on this earlier, Ruel, but I love that it's not games for kids. It's games that you can play with kids. And mm-hmm. Chris also nailed it with the production value is so much nicer than it needs to be for a kids game. And I love it when publishers go that extra mile when they don't have to. Like these, I can tell just from the pictures that those tiles are like nice.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be, and I love that they are. I love that they do that. That's consistent across all of their games. Their production quality is just amazing.
For sure.
Agree.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Great way to kick off the list. Let's go on to number 11. I believe that's going to be my choice this time. So number 11, this is a game from second big box game, I believe, from a designer who came out with a huge hit. Little game you might have heard of called Wingspan, Elizabeth Hargrave. The choice I'm putting on our list is, for number 11, Mariposas. This is about the monarch butterflies and It's a race game, basically. You're racing to get your monarchs from Michoacan all the way up north through from Mexico to the U.S. And I forget exactly where they learn. But fun fact, I went to the University of California at Santa Barbara, and we had the monarchs stop off there. There's an actual preserve there. Yeah, so in this game, what I loved about this is, in remember in Wingspan, you would get fewer actions per turn. Well, here in Mariposas, Elizabeth Hargrave flipped that. So you start with, I think, 5 actions, and then by the third round, you have 7. So you're increasing the actions here. And what you're doing, you're playing your action cards, moving your different butterflies, which have different values. You're trying to get them to way stations and other points of interest on the map. You're going to collect points based on where they are. There's some set collection in this, and I really enjoyed this game. I felt like it was overlooked, and I really think it was overlooked just because it wasn't Wingspan. People had certain, you know, expectations, I guess. One of those, like, oh, how can this sequel or the next game from Hargrave ever meet the expectations of Wingspan? And unfair or not, I feel like that's what happened. Folks, if you haven't played this, give this a shot. It's a wonderful game. I was, you know, as we were coming up with this list, I was thinking, remember Pulp Fiction by Quentin Tarantino? That was like the one that put him on the map. The movie after that, people expected another Pulp Fiction, but he gave us Jackie Brown, which wasn't as well received. But you know what, folks? Go back and watch. If you're a fan of Tarantino, go back and watch Jackie Brown. It's a wonderful movie if you like that style of movie. And I think Mariposas is similar to that, where I think people sort of overlooked it, but it is a wonderful game. And I don't know how I got on Tarantino being Hargrave, but somehow that's where we're at.
No,
and
that's, I think that's a really good comparison.
Thanks.
I can totally back you up there that I also saw that happening. And you can see now with like Faku Experiment and other, like, and I think Undergrove is also a new Hargrave game. Like those are getting more. People are now, she's not just the Wingspan designer, but she was for that moment when Mariposas came out. And now she's established, a roster of games that she's worked on. We expect new and different things from her. But yeah, absolutely. I saw that happening as well. So you're not crazy. This got massively overlooked. And I think that that's probably a little bit of why that happened.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you for backing me up on that. As I was saying, I was like, what am I really talking about? Am I being crazy?
No, I got what you're going for.
No, it's a great comparison.
Thank you.
Plus, with all the blood that's in all of her games as well.
I know,
that's
the other thing. It's not as gory as you've come to expect. Yeah.
And all the F-bombs from Samuel Jackson in the game as well.
Yeah. Like the cards, if you read the flavor text on any Wingspan card, it's like, get these birds off of my plane.
Blankety blank. Yes. Butterflies. Blankety blank. Yeah. So that's our number 11, folks. Let's move on to our number 10. Ray, you've got this one for us for our list of top 12 spring games.
Sure. So this is a game probably everyone's familiar with, so I'll keep it somewhat brief, but this is Cascadia. This is an award-winning tile-laying game about creating various habitats in the real-life location of Cascadia that has all these different beautiful different terrains you can work with. So you're going to be drafting tiles from a main market along with little animal tokens, and you're going to be doing kind of two different spatial puzzles here. You're going to be trying to connect pieces of terrain together, like similar terrain tiles together, so mountains to mountains and deserts to deserts. And you're also going to want to be putting those animals on top of them, which have their own unique spatial scoring mechanism. So you're trying to create like the largest swath of one contiguous type of habitat, while also maybe getting a little line of salmon or keeping your bears apart from each other or keeping your wolves in little pairs. And there's a bunch of different scoring mechanisms for all the animals, so it's not going to be the same thing every time, which is really cool. I love when games have that sort of built in. It's got stunning Beth Sobel art, which is one of the reasons why it's on this list. It really does evoke that beautiful nature theme, and all the animals are beautifully illustrated, and it's just a gorgeous, relaxing, nature-themed game.
Yeah, this was on my short list as well, Ray. And folks, did you know the extended edition, after we do the show, we talk about the games that didn't make our list. And I just let you know that Cascadia is one of them, but we talk about a bunch more. So be sure to click on the link below for all the other games that we talk about. I love Cascadia. It was my game of the year when it came out. And I think it's a masterpiece of design and one of the perfect games to play during the springtime, I believe.
Cascadia, like, I've played Cascadia and played Verdant. I think Verdant I like a little bit more than Cascadia, but Cascadia I feel has been really growing on me as of late. The last game I played of Cascadia was like
a really tight game. I was teaching a friend of mine who was running a World Series of Board Gaming event, and so I had to learn the game. And so we were playing it, and it was just like, it was so tight. And I was like, I felt like I'd gone to another level with my strategy. And it really Yeah, it made me very excited to play it and continue to play it.
Nice. I have to share this story, Chris. You were talking about the World Series of Board Gaming. I was in one of the ring games, and a little unbeknownst to me, I'm playing with one of the eventual final tableists, and I played my best game of Cascadia ever. I scored like a little over 100 points, and I was so stoked, and I still lost by 20. I'm like, what the?
Wow.
Yeah. And like,
well, that's one of the things I like about it is that I love games where they kind of bury the lead on who's winning, where it's hard to grasp, because it's so fun when you feel like you're winning the whole time. That's a mark of a good game for me, is if you can lose horribly but feel like you're winning the whole game.
Agreed.
It's done really well in Cascadia. Sometimes it feels unfair, and Cascadia really does a good job of making you feel...
Like agreed.
Doing something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. I mean, that's a great point. Well. Yeah, and what it showed me was like there is that like next level strategy, and when you're playing at the WSBG, like you got to bring it. I mean, the guy was super cool too, super nice, and we had such a lovely time. And then I was like, wow, he has like a dozen pine cones at the end. I'm like, how did he get that many pine cones? And yeah, just totally crushed it. That's great experience.
I spend them them too easily.
I do too. Willy-nilly. Yeah, I too totally willy-nilly. Spend those things. Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Great choice for number 10. Let's move on to number 9, which is going to be from Richard. Richard, take it away.
Okay, all right. The list so far. Interesting choices. Chris, number 12. Actually, I like it a lot, but I'm a huge fan of Little Shop of Horrors. So why not have spring be a time of rampant destruction rather than growth and beauty? Makes sense. Ruel, Mariposas is a very cool choice. There is one slight problem, though. The monarch butterflies, they migrate in autumn. They do not migrate in spring. So it's a better autumn game, but that's fine anyway. It's still beautiful. And a nice choice. And Ray, Cascadia was literally the first game I thought of when Ruel proposed this list. I ultimately didn't go with it, though, because it's mostly about the fauna and not really about the flora. I don't really get that sense of connection, you know, with flowers and growth and new beginnings and all that. I mean, it's there, totally there. But I like it. And I'm sure a lot of people would agree. And definitely, you know, it is about life. Nice choices. But what is number 9? I'm going to bet a game that none of you have played or honestly have even heard of. Number 9 on our combined list is Walking in Provence. And here's a rundown I did of it last year. This is such a sharp little card game where we are layering cards together, you know, slipping them on top of each other, trying to make the right grid, or slipping them underneath, which is something that a lot of these card layering games don't let you do. But the storyline here is we are in the fields of Provence, flowers are growing, and we're photographers trying to capture the perfect picture. Up at the top of the table are a bunch of objectives. Objectives for pictures I can take where I want to get certain elements in the shot. But there's also objectives for shots I want to take with my drone, because I'm also taking drone shots. And I'm trying to build the ideal layout and then move my little photographer around on the grid I've created and my drone around independently so I can be the first to snap the really great pictures and score really lovely points. This has got to be maybe the crunchiest of all the card-laying games out there. You know, games like Nemalia or Hanging Gardens or whatever. And it's a beautiful game too. You know, very simple with all the fields of flowers and, you know, local landmarks and all of that. And just absolutely brilliant. I'm a huge fan of it. And I hope more people discover it. Number 9 on our list, Walking in Provence.
Yeah, Rado, Richard, you got me there. I have not played Walking in Provence, but I looked at the designer of the game as you're doing your a little rundown there. He has been responsible for some really great games. The first two that I see, Mystery of the Temples and Walking in Burano. These are all small box games, and I've really enjoyed them. So Walking in Provence looks really cool. I love that whole, you know, tile, well, card lane, I guess you technically call it, but sort of like Nemalia with the different ways of scoring. But yeah, looks like a good one, and I can't wait to actually try it.
Yeah, he stumped me. I got. I've never heard of this before, but I love that, like, taking a snapshot and, like, being able to, like, layer. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Perfect Picture that Arcane Wonders did, where you're trying to, like, get them in the right, like, I like that a lot, but obviously, like, cleaner and simpler and smaller boxed, and yeah, it's this great pick. I really want to try that. That's a mechanic that I really enjoy.
Same. Yeah, seems cool. I've never even heard of the other ones that you mentioned, Ruel.
Yeah.
Definitely check those out. Let's move on to number 8. Back to Chris for this one.
All right. Well, number 8 is what I often tell Richard when he disparages my picks, and that's Scram. Scram is a little card game by Bezier. It's the same game as Silver, but this is sort of like the team version, and it's a little bit easier, right? There's a little bit less back and forth with the cards, but you can play Silver, you can play Scram. This one came out of nowhere for me, and I already gave it this year like the golden buzzer best of the year. I hit on my channel, like, for reviews, I hit the golden buzzer. What, like, I'm allowed to do it 4 times every year. I never do up to 4 times, but I really want to be like, this game is awesome. I like hit the golden buzzer, and that's what I did for this one. It's so good. It's so good. If you've ever played the card game Golf, which is a very bad game, it's awful, just atrocious. But my girlfriend's family really loves it. And what it is you're drawing a card and you're choosing, do I keep this card and try to make a set, or do I throw it away and then flip up a random card? It's like Random the Board Game. This takes Golf and actually makes it like an amazing, awesome team game. Under turn, you can do 2 things. You can do 3 things. You can draw a card and you can exchange it with cards in your row. You can discard it without doing anything, or you can discard it and do its ability. And so the abilities are stuff like look at a card or flip over cards or et cetera. And the key about looking at cards or flipping over cards is that when you're exchanging, if you know you have multiples of the same number, so say I have 2 8s that are face down that I've managed to look at in previous round, I'll be like, great, I'm going to exchange the card I just drew for these 2 cards. And then you flip them up. You're all trying to get the lowest amount of points. Get the least amount of critters in your backyard camping. Additionally, if your partner also has the same number, you can swap out theirs at the same time too. So it's like this really great back and forth communication of like, okay, I'm helping you look at stuff. Now I'm looking at stuff. I know what that card is, trying to get down in the fewest number of turns as possible. And then when you think you have the lowest score and you have like 2 or less cards, you say, Scram! Which, you know, 20% of the enjoyment for sure comes from that. But I had even forgotten that part when the first time I was playing it. But now it's an integral part of the teach. You say Scram, everybody else gets 1 more turn. They might like draw 13, which they can put into your campsite. It's a skunk or whatever. And if you have called it and you and your partner have the fewest amount of points, you get 0 points. And the opposing team just gets all of their points. And after the end of 4 rounds, the person with the lowest points wins. It's awesome. It's like, it's so good. It shouldn't be good. Like, it shouldn't be this good.
I love games where that can be the tagline. Yes. Like, this shouldn't be good, but it is.
It shouldn't be good.
I love that.
I got it. I picked it up the packs because I was swung by Bezier. And they're like, oh, that's Golf. And I knew I was going to my girlfriend's folks for Christmas. And I was like, they're like, do you want this? I was like, well, they like Golf, so maybe I can get it played. And like, they're like, oh, here, try Silver and this. I was like, I don't want this. I don't want it. I really don't even want to take it. I'm so uninterested. And then I played it and I was like, wow, I would have missed out on like one of my favorite card games now of all time. It's like,
nice.
It was such a boom or bust situation, in my opinion. But like, I really, really love this game. And I love Silver as well. Silver, you can play it in a team mode. Silver Fang is designed to be a team mode. I would get Silver Amulet, which is the first one that they did. So it's a little less complicated. It gets zanier and zanier as you get like the different sets. And you can swap them in and out and do that. I haven't really, because it just feels like a lot of work. And they're all sort of balanced for themselves anyway. But yeah, really enjoyed the Silvers, where you play as like a solo. Generally you play as solo, and then Scram though has the cute critters, and I love the art style. I love that it's a little bit more pared down. Not every card has an ability. So, you know, you keep the lower ones and you have the ability on the higher ones. It makes it a little bit more accessible and easy to pick up. Was a huge hit for people who, like, enjoyed the card game golf and, like, aren't huge gamers. And also, like, I'll play it all the time. Yeah, nice. It's great.
You know, you mentioned the game golf. And before I got into modern board games, Chris, I may have spent way too many hours of my lifetime playing golf. It's the solitaire game, right? Where you're just matching the cards up. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you can play it with a bunch of people, but you have like 9 cards. Yep. or you have 8 cards. There's a couple of variations.
Yeah.
You get to flip up 3 to start.
Yep.
And you draw a card and you're trying to make each one of your columns the same number. Then it cancels out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you want to get the lowest points. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know exactly the mechanism you're talking about. So, this looks really cool. I would totally play this with the extra abilities, the cute art. And now I'm sort of kicking myself that I spent so many hours playing that card game golf.
Well, Scram wasn't around. Scram, Silver was out, has been out for a bit, but Scram just came out last year.
Oh, okay. So, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Excited to try it out.
It's like a pared down, great team version. Mm-hmm. You can play 2v2 or 2v2v2.
Nice. Awesome.
Sounds great.
Cool. That is our number 8. Let's move on to number 7. It's back to me. And hopefully Richard doesn't roast my choice here. I remember what you said, Richard, about my last choice. I'm going with the Butterflies. They Start in Spring, so that's why I chose the game, even though...
There you go. Stand up for yourself.
I'm standing for myself. Thank you. Yeah, it was a great choice.
Oh, yeah. It was better than walking in Provence or whatever.
Whatever that is, yeah.
Or whatever Richard's next 2 picks are going
to
be.
Exactly. Thank you, friends. But let's move on to number 7. This one, really, for me, really captures the theme of springtime. It's a game that's actually going to be coming out. Again, they've got a second edition coming out. A game called Lotus. This is a gorgeous game. I always love seeing this one has like table presence for days. And what you're doing is you're playing petal cards from your hand and you're creating the little different flowers. You have the lotus flower, you have orchids, tulips and whatnot. And it's set collection at its heart. You're trying to collect the same, you know, petals, different numbers of petals for different flowers. So some will have you collect 4 of them, others 3, 5, 7, etc. But here's the cool thing. Once you collect those, you'll take those for points. But there's other ways to score points, mainly through area control. And this is what always surprised me about this game. You have little bugs for everyone has different bug meeples. And you're going to place them on the flowers. And whoever has the most when that flower is complete will gain extra points based on those bugs. And when you complete a flower, not only do you get those for points, but you are going to get extra abilities. So you unlock things like, hey, increase your hand size, or increase. You get a bonus bug that'll give you 2 points rather than 1. And it's another one of those games where it's super easy to get to the table because I just taught it in like a minute here. But it has a lot more gameplay than you expect. It scales well, 2 to 4 players, probably about 30-minute game. And I've always loved it. I'm super excited for the new edition because I think this game has been out of print for a while. And I always loved it. Michelle and I played it a ton when it first came out years ago, and we still have our copy, but I'm wondering how, I don't know if they should change the art. I love the art. It's got, again, great table presence. You're literally building flowers and then picking those up so you can build others. But very snappy game, a lot more strategic than you think. And that is why it's our number 7, Lotus.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I really like that idea of putting down petals to make a flower.
Yes.
That's one of those ideas where I'm like, why hadn't that been done before? That's genius. And then like set collecting and stuff, that's really nice. I don't see enough games that involve set collecting that involve you doing something artistic with like the set that you're collecting. That's really nice. I really like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I just love looking at it. Like, it's literally a flower, right? Yeah. That's growing right there on your table. It's a gorgeous game. Probably the only sad thing about it is like, once you complete a flower, you got to pick them up off the table, so you sort of lose it. But, aww, you know, it's points. It's points sad. In your hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lotus, very, very outstanding game, and I think one that really captures the springtime theme that we've been talking about here.
Yeah, totally. Richard can't have anything bad to say about that one. It's got flowers.
I hope he doesn't. We're going to see.
Budding flowers.
Yeah, we shall see. Okay. Speaking of Richard, he's got a number six, and let's see if he roasts our other choice here.
No, I think Ray.
No. Okay, we're going to wait for the roasting in for one more pick. I'm sorry about that.
For the roast.
Yeah, Ray.
No, you're good. You're good.
Let's see what we got for number six, please.
Yeah, I got number six. Number six for me is Arboretum. This is a tree planting game where obviously you're creating your own little arboretum. I have the like fancy deluxe version, so it's like all like shimmery and gorgeous, and the art is just stunning.
You got the one with the minis? You put one mini for each tree down?
Wait, minis?
No.
What?
Yeah, there's a big life-size mini one where you put a mini on every single card. Yeah, there's 100.
I'm sure you're joking.
I'm totally making it up. Sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead. Explain Arboretum.
My brain, like, yeah. So Arboretum is basically a deck of cards. It's with various suits that represent different types of trees. And it's going to be numbered 1 through 9. You're going to want to be planting these trees in your own personal Arboretum. As I mentioned, you start with a hand of trees. And on your turn, you're going to draw 2 more. And they can either be drawn from a central draw pile or from anyone's discard pile, including your own, which is a really fun mechanic. So you're going to get your 2 cards, and then you're going to play one. It doesn't have to be one of the ones you picked up. It could be any of the ones in your hand. And then you're going to discard one, which then can be like picked up by someone else. And you're going to be trying to create these sets of, they're like these runs of trees, right? And so you can be able to like use the same tree in multiple runs. So it's like a little bit of a spatial puzzle to get the most use out of your trees as you're placing them, because come the end of the game, each suit is going to score 1 run from anyone at the table. And it counts as a run of a certain suit if it starts and ends with the same type of tree. So if you have the 1 of cherry blossom and then a bunch of other trees in the middle that are in ascending order, and then you end with like the 6 of cherry blossoms, that whole thing counts as your run for cherry blossoms. And then the really tricky part is that only one person gets to score any given run of a certain suit. So only one person, even if everyone has a really impressive run of cherry blossoms, only one person gets to actually score their cherry blossom run. And the person who gets to do that is the person who has the highest value of cherry blossoms left in their hand. So as I said, their cards are numbered 1 through 9. You add up the value of all the cherry blossom cards that you have left in your hand. And if you beat the other people at the table, then you get to score your cherry blossom run. So it's a very interesting balance of wanting to make your run big and worth it, and trying to fit in as many trees as you can, and again using those trees for multiple runs because the game is not very long, but also hoarding enough of that suit so that you can actually score it. And it's very this is not for everyone, I will say that. It's very card county. There's a lot of like, you need to know if the 9 of cherry blossoms is buried or if someone has it in their hands, or the 8, I think it's 1 through 8 actually. Very card counting and very hate drafty, because you can see like, oh, I see someone's making a weeping willow run, and I'm just gonna hoard all the weeping willows to ruin their day. Maybe not everyone plays this game this way. I've been learning lately that I play games more aggressively. I will talk about a game like it's cutthroat, and people will be like, what are you talking about? My family plays Arboretum pretty cutthroat. It'll be only like a handful of runs that get scored because we're constantly blocking each other out of it. But I really, really love it. It's got a spatial puzzle. It's got cool card hand management. It's absolutely, absolutely stunning. And you're playing little trees. So if it's our spring theme.
Yeah.
Now okay, go ahead, Ruel.
I was just going to say, this was another one that was on my list, Ray. We were thinking the same thing. I absolutely love this game. My friends and I, we either call it Mean Trees or Murder Trees, because it's, we play it aggressively too.
I have to steal that. Mean Trees.
Yeah, Mean Trees or Murder Trees.
This game is Mean Trees. I love it. Totally.
Yeah, you
that's
don't
such
think
a good
it's
way to describe it.
Yeah, when you first get it, it's like, oh, beautiful, and then you start playing, it's like, mm-hmm. oh man, this is just yeah, total it. Hate drafty. But it's so brilliant, and that spatial puzzle and the collective hand management of it, it's so mm-hmm. so excruciating. Like, oh, I want to put this out here, but I got to keep it so I can score
but I have
it.
To keep some in my hand.
Yeah, oh, it's so brutal.
It really is brain burning, and you yeah. wouldn't expect it to. And I love games like that.
Same.
Now, both of you said, oh, I play with my family. What's the player count that you generally will play this at the most?
I almost always play this at 3. Yep. And I don't know that that's intentional. It's one of the few games for some reason that my sister, who doesn't really play board games, for some reason she really likes it. So I'll play with my sister and my mom. And I probably have like the most games of this, like logged on BGG. Like it's up there in like top 5. I play this game all the time because it's one of the few games my sister plays. And nice. 3 usually works quite well because it's enough where it's not just you and the other person going back and forth and hate drafting, but it's not so much that the card counting aspect of it gets too out of hand. Yeah. But I don't know about you, Ruel. Do you play at a specific player count?
Yeah, I've played this. We played this a ton before the pandemic. My game group, we always had 4-player games going, and we played mm-hmm. it a ton. And then after the pandemic, I feel like I've played 3-player games more often.
Yeah.
But I like both player counts. It's murder trees or mean trees.
It's yeah. murder.
Interesting, because like yeah. I really like mean games. I absolutely love mean games because mm-hmm. I'm just a mean spirited individual in my heart of hearts, and it's the only way I can get it out there in the open. But I played Arboretum once. I played a 4-player game mm-hmm. and I thought it was atrocious. I thought it was awful.
Really?
And I was so excited to play it because I've only heard it be like put forward as being like a really great game. And yeah. and then my hypothesis was that it would be a good 2-player game, but at no other player count. Because for me, it feels like king making the board game. Like, okay, I have 2 8s in my hand. Who do I want to win? I have to get rid of one of them. I can't keep both of them. Or it's just like, okay, I drew this 8, so either I win this suit, or I don't have it, and I have to hold it and keep it away from somebody else. Right? Like, I found that it was just like...
Don't find the 8s that powerful. Because if you have a, like a 4 one, and a 5,
cancels, yeah. the 1 cancels
win,
it, right?
The 1, it yeah. cancels it out.
Yeah. yeah.
So I definitely... I will agree there's a little bit of that. There's a little... You yeah. can dogpile on one person, mm-hmm. but it's... You got to be adaptable. Like, if you're not finding that 8, or if you're not finding the suit that you needed, you can kind of intuit when someone's hoarding something. And that's where the discard, there's almost always a suit that everyone's just decided they're not playing.
Yeah. yeah.
And my comeback strategy in Arboretum is to just start stealing from everyone's trash and be like, all right, losers, I'm the Weeping Willow trash queen.
I do the same.
Like, I did that. I did that in my game. I was like, okay, I'm doing this pivot point. But like it also in our game, there was just somebody who got all the chestnut and they just laid down all the chestnuts and they yeah. had the chestnuts and there's no way of stopping them. And then they won because everybody else like kind of canceled each other out. And I just like, I've never been so, it was like, wow. I played at Niagara Board Game Convention. It was far and away like my least favorite game that I played out of every game that
That's
weekend.
That's fascinating.
And I think because my expectations were like super duper high because yeah. I know like I've heard it being reflected as like such a really good game. I was really excited to play it. Even like the teach of it, I was like, that's a really like a lot of cool concepts. But then just in that play, like I've only played it once, to be fair. So maybe it was an anomalous play.
Yeah.
But I just like it just felt like myself and another person were like, okay, we're gonna hoard. And then somebody else was like, well, you can't hoard from me. And then we're like, okay, well, we hoarded from each other. We both killed each other and you win. Congratulations.
Right?
And I'm like,
so,
well, and so that's why I was like, maybe as a 2-player, I would be really interested because then it yeah. is that sort of Lost Cities push your luck style
yep.
of right. are you going to get the right numbers or not, right? right? The other gripe I have with this game is that when the last person to play, when the deck ends, the game's over. And yeah. that yeah. I think that makes for just like, okay, first player is at a very significant well, advantage.
Yeah, yeah. You're, oh man. That, well, okay. Let me ask you this: did you guys?
Oh my God. We're like ready.
Well, first of all, did you guys shuffle the cards? Like you shuffled them, right?
Yes, we shuffled the cards.
Because usually there's like a lot of different trees that come out. No one just like keeps one. But
no, it's true. Well, yeah. like they just happened to get the chestnuts when they drew
it's
off.
So
the top,
interesting,
right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well,
I
was, yeah. I was go ahead, say, Ray. I'll let yeah. Like, how are we gonna defend your choice here? Arboretum.
I'm all sweaty and. What did you say? You said What were you just saying before the chestnut comment? You said
taking each other out and somebody else wins. That's why it felt like kingmaking the board game to me. Mm. It's because like it was really like, okay, who do I choose to make win? Felt like it came down to near the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember what I was going to say. I wasn't addressing that. I was addressing the length of the game. It varies depending on how much you pull from discard piles.
Yeah, that's
part of it. But I can see what you're saying about kingmaking. And I think for me, the reason why that element doesn't bother me as much is because the game is quite short. Kingmaking bothers me. It's an exponential curve for me. Kingmaking the longer I've invested in the game. But I'm going to say, I almost said that's kind of valid. Let's maybe play it at a con. And maybe you'll hate it less, but I'm not gonna go to the mat on it. I have had fun experiences with it because I don't mind that kind of gang up on one person. But I think it's a valid critique.
Absolutely.
I've never heard anyone like express it like that before. But I'm gonna say, Chris, that's valid. That's fair.
Well, totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hilarious though that Ruel and I love it and you hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. In such agreeance. Yeah. I like the drama of Chris's like, terrible pick.
You know what? I'm going to hate your next picks too.
Do it. I'll hate yours too.
Well, let's see what Richard's going to hate on during his explanation of number 5. Richard, let us know what you think. What you got?
Okay. What do we got next? Chris, Scram. Don't know anything about it, never played it because it's a 3-player minimum game, and I like playing games with my wife, and just my wife, quite frankly, because I'm an antisocial so-and-so, so don't really know anything about it, but looking forward to watching this video so you can explain it to me. And, Lotus, certainly a beautiful game, but geez Louise, this game is cutthroat, at least as a 2-player game. Honestly, Jen and I could not keep it. It was just way too in your face for our taste. And hey, while we're at it, Ray, number 6, Arboretum. Maybe the nastiest game about trees in all of human history. Oh my gosh, what a mean-spirited game, but a brilliant, brilliant design. Apparently that's what you guys like to do when spring is with us, is just destroy your opponents. Anyway, that's not what I'm about. I'm going to talk about number 5 on our combined list, which I am so in love with, Windmill Valley. And I'm cheating, because this game has not come out yet, which is why I am referring to a Chinese channel, Zian Tian. There'll be a link for it down in the show notes if you'd like to check it out. Apparently, they've got the first copy of this anywhere in the world, and this is a game about tulips in bloom, gardening to grow the tulips, sell the tulips, score points off of the tulips, and it is a lovely, beautiful game all about growing flowers. I was lucky enough to play this with my wife Jen at the Dice Tower West convention just a few weeks ago. They had some early prototype copies by the publisher Board and Dice, and this is right off the bat, it's going to be coming out later in the year, probably early on favorite for one of my top 5 games of the year, because Zian Tian hasn't shown it yet. Let me go on ahead and see if I can find someplace. You may have noticed the big gears. Here we go. You get to spin the gears! The Windmill Valley. Each player in front of them has 2 windmill gears that you upgrade over time. You can put new tokens in them, and at the beginning of every one of your turns, you rotate this thing a variable amount based on the speed of the rivers, because players can control, open up the dams and whatnot to let more or less water through, and that determines how far you're going to rotate both of these wheels, and you're trying to rotate them to get them to the upgraded spots that combo really well together, but other players are maybe speeding up or slowing down the rate of water, and so that's something you have to deal with. All of this is so that you can, plant the right seeds, to harvest the right tulips, to sell them at the market, and score lots of points. There's a lot going on, like Danny Garcia. Oh, did I mention this is from designer Danny Garcia, who is fast becoming my favorite? He might eclipse Feld at the rate he's going. Arboreum last year was amazing, and the other one from, it's right up there. Barcelona. This is his 3rd game, and it might be his best to date. Jen and I love this to pieces. People will be able to get to play it a little bit later in the year, but this was a great way for us to ring in spring. Number 5 on the list, Windmill Valley.
Okay, so Richard's roasting our picks, and he's picking a game that's not even out yet. Come on, Richard, that's not fair. I want to roast you.
Yeah, who would do that? That's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, is there something coming up?
Yeah, God, what a weirdo.
Yeah, let's really cast stones. Ray, do you want to cast a lot of stones?
Yes, Ray, please do. The Windmill Valley looks cool. I love the fact. Yeah, it looks really neat. And Danny Garcia, yes, Barcelona, folks. If you haven't played that one, check that out. I'm looking forward to Windmill Valley, and I don't have anything to say other than I'm looking forward to playing it. Yeah.
I will say the gears, baby.
Yeah.
I love that. I gotta say, I like Zolkin quite a bit, but the theming of the gears makes no sense. The Mayan calendar didn't move. It was a slapped on kind of theme concept that's cool, but doesn't make
any sense. Progresses.
Sense. This is a genius way to implement that gears that hasn't really been done. Zolkin is really the only one that comes to mind that really does that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to see that mechanic being continued on with new and better themes, in my opinion. So I'm very excited about that. That looks awesome.
Same.
I just love the tulips. I love the color palette.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Gorgeous game. It is a pretty game.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the list. Continue here with Chris with our number four.
Well, my number four, I didn't realize my shirt that I was wearing is kind of related to it.
Oh, nice.
I got all these little plants.
Beautiful plant
plants
shirt.
Coming up from a typewriter. It's not coming up from the typewriter, but it's got to do with plants. I've already talked about it a little, and that's because it's verdant. Nice. Verdant, I do like more than Cascadia. I still like it more than Cascadia, and I think because there are more ways to get points. I like that there are more paths to victory. It isn't just the two tile laying that you have to consider. You're considering set collection. You're considering like end of round goals. You're considering different placement of things. All those different scoring conditions that were just on the screen. And I think that's the reason why it kind of edges it out for me. But both are great. It's by the same team, flat out team. And it's a really fun game that Renee, my girlfriend, has been asking me to play pretty much every day this week.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. You get the flowers, you get things that are in bloom, you get to arrange the rooms and shine sunlight or different types of sunlight. I just think it's a really slick, smart design, and it has that unified drafting that Cascadia also has. But you do get a choice in this one. You can choose the plant or the room, and you have to alternate back and forth. I think it's really solid. If you like Cascadia, you should also try Verdant. If you don't like Cascadia, Verdant's a little bit better, but it feels similar-ish.
It's so interesting to hear you say that, right? Because the three games in that group, right, are Cascadia, mm-hmm. Verdant, and Calico. Right?
Yep.
And I've played Calico and Cascadia, and I love them, and I've always avoided Verdant because everyone I've ever talked to has said that's the worst of the three.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that you say you like it so much. I've never played it, so I have no comments on it, but that's always been like when I talk to people about that trio of games, they're like, oh, you played the two good ones, don't play Verdant.
Like, it gets
truly,
that a
and
lot.
So I've been like, all right, because I'm a sheep, and I'll be like, sure, bad game, but I should get around to playing it because I do quite like, obviously, Cascadia and Calico as well.
Yeah. See, I have yet to play Calico, but so I've only played Verdant and Cascadia.
Try to teach at some point.
Yeah, there we go.
Interesting.
We'll do a swap.
It's funny because of the three games, I think Cascadia is by far like the most approachable and accessible. I think it's the easiest to learn.
I agree.
Way crunchier than
Calico is super crunchy. And I think Verdant has a little bit of that crunchiness just in a different format. Mm-hmm. And I love them all. I think they're all great games. I would choose Cascadia, but Verdant I really like. I know my wife Michelle really liked Verdant, and I think it was just the whole organizational thing. Like you're in home, you're organizing things nice and neat. And yeah, she's definitely more me. I'm just like throw everything out there, whatever. But she's a little more organized, a lot more organized than I am.
So for Michelle, it would be Verdant over Calico. Would it be Verdant over Cascadia, or Michelle would probably opt for Cascadia?
Actually, she loves Cascadia of all three. She's like me. We both enjoy Cascadia the most. And we also like Arboretum, Chris, just to let you know.
There you go. Your opinions are both invalid. just wondering, for Ray's sake, do you like Verdant more than Calico?
I like... Oh man, that's a good question. I go, you know, I've flip-flopped so much over the years. I know I like Cascadia as my number one, and then number two, it depends on my mood. I'm going to totally chicken out here. Depends on my mood. Sometimes I want the Verdant style puzzle. Sometimes I like the Calico style puzzle. Basically, if I'm in the mood for plants or cats, I guess, in my game theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all three are excellent games. I know people say Vern's the worst. I don't think it's bad at all. I just prefer the other one.
I don't think that people... I think it's just reductive because they're in a group. They get compared to each other a lot. I don't think anyone says it's a bad game, but for whatever reason, the people I chat with, they always get compared to each other. It's always like, well, which of the three do you like the most? And I feel like maybe Verdant suffers because of that. Kind of going back to the Elizabeth Hargrave of like unfair comparisons, just because they're all from the same publisher. They all kind of are in that, this just grouping that just happened. Yeah. They get compared a lot, which I feel like it's probably unfair to Verdant. And it's caused me to not play it.
It had the exact same effect. I was like, I asked AEG if I could review Calico and they sent me Verdant. And I was like, oh, dang. really? That's what happened. And then I played it and I was like, oh man, why do people say this? Like, I like this a lot. And so since then I've tried to like kind of champion, be a bit more vocal about like enjoying Verdant, because I think like it absolutely had an effect on me too. I was like, oh man, all right, let's check out the worst one.
Yeah.
Like, I like it.
Nice. Well, good call for our number four, Chris. Verdant. Let's move on to number three. Is this mine? It is. Yes, it is mine. Number three, this game's been out for a little while now, and in our choosing our springtime games, I want to do something a little different. I really tried to focus on different types of games for this list. And our number three, collective number three, is a game by one of my favorite designers, John DeClair, called Mystic Veil. And I absolutely love this game. For those that don't know, this is the original card crafting game, the mechanism card crafting, where you're literally sliding in these, pieces of plastic to upgrade your cards. And the story goes that John DeClair had come up with this for another game, Edge of Darkness, but AEG took a look at it like, you know what? Because this is such a brand new mechanism, we need to teach people how to card craft. So they slimmed it down to Mystic Veil, and it's card crafting at its purest form. It's streamlined, and basically what you're doing is it's got a little bit of like deck building, but you're leveling up your cards, and it's got a little push your luck because you're trying to get all of the, I guess it's mana and also certain symbols to get more cards and more upgrades. And at some point you're going to bust because there are things called, I think they're called spoil tokens or icons, and if you spoil, I think it's three or four, if those show up, then you have busted. You'll get a little makeup, makeup for it, but on your next turn, you can push your luck again and try to get those. And it's a race to, I think it's 30 points, I forget, but it's a race to a certain number of points, and you're collecting different sets of cards, different icons, and you're doing this through the card crafting. I fell in love immediately with card crafting. I thought it was so cool to do that. You start with, I think it's 15 cards, and that's the only card you're going to get throughout the whole game, but you're just leveling up by adding the plastic pieces, and those cards get better as the game continues, but at the same time your opponents do it as well, so it's a race to get the most efficient cards out there, and hopefully you'll score the most points. But the theme itself, it's a theme of renewal, right? It's in this fantasy world, and you're renewing just like spring does, and you're going out and doing things with card crafting, folks. I love this game, and I've got all the expansions. I've got the big box up behind me. It's a game that I haven't played in a group for a while. They had a solo, I think, was it a fan-made solo thing or whatnot? But anyways, I love Mystic Veil. That's why it's our number three for our springtime games.
Yeah, great. I like the creativity with the theme incorporation on this one, and it's also just... This game, it's so cool to see a game that invented a mechanic that holds up. A lot of times, like, a game will invent a mechanic and then the rest of the industry will run with it and iterate on it. It's really cool to see that this really did.
Yeah.
It does hold up. Yeah, it's a great pick.
Yeah, I was, I know he's got, he's got Dead Reckoning that uses this, also Edge of Darkness. I got a sneak peek, actually, at the World Series of Board Gaming of his next one in this line, which looks freaking awesome, but I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it, so I'll just leave it there.
yeah.
And then there's a game, y'all can help me with the name of it, but it was a game about painting, and you would paint...
Canvas.
Which that's the only other one I can think of that uses card crafting, and I thought Canvas was awesome, and... As a gateway to card crafting, I would actually choose Canvas first. Beautiful really game. Good. Yeah. So, yeah, that's our number three. Mystic Veil. Oh, we've got two more games. And Ray, you've got our second on the list.
All right. I'm going to be a dirty little cheater and pick a game that's not out yet.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm not going to boo you. I've played this game, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's great. My number two is Gnome Hollow, which I have the pleasure of getting to play early because I work at the op. And this is, oh my goodness, when you said springtime games, this was just the first thing I thought of. In this game, you are, it's a tile laying game where you are gnomes who are trying to create little circles of mushrooms and flowers. On your turn, you're going to draft two tiles from a market that are going to have these little, like, a little fragment of a mushroom ring on a hexagon, and you're going to place it on this in the middle of the table, and it's going to create this ever expanding communal garden of mushrooms. And whenever you're able to close a mushroom ring, you'll be able to harvest all of the mushroom icons that are depicted on that ring, which you can then trade in for little trinkets and whatnot that you value more as a gnome. You'll get like, oh, look at that's the designer Amon. Oh, he's such a sweetie. You'll get to the little trinkets that all turn into points, right? So you want to collect mushrooms, and there's a cool like trading in mechanic at the market. Only one person can ever do like sell 5 red mushrooms. Once that's been done, the next person either has to sell 6 or sell 4. And I think that's a nice little extra spice to it. And then every player is going to have a personal scoring board in front of them that's going to keep track of the various rings that they've created. And the bigger the ring, the extra like bonuses and fun time things that you'll get. Fun time things. I don't know what that meant. one time things is what I meant to say.
One time fun time things.
This is just, it's so solid. The mechanics are quite simple, but it really does push your brain to think spatially because of the way those paths like interconnect with each other. And the fact that you're all on the same board, you can kind of like, it's all supposed to be all fun and love and you're just little gnomes gardening, but you can kind of block some people out of like their little spot and kind of squish people in so that they have to be creative with how they can close their mushroom ring. And one of the reasons why this is the top on my list is because the designer, Ammon Anderson, actually did all of the art in this game. This is all hand-drawn watercolor art that he did. Mm-hmm. And it feels gorgeous. Very organic. Like when you hear him talk about the inception of this game, he was in a car crash and had like a traumatic brain injury and was in the hospital. And to help him kind of calm himself down and to get through that process, he would paint. And he said that these little mushroom paths just sort of popped up like in his mind. He doesn't really know where they came from. And that is what ended up becoming Gnome Hollow, which I just think is so beautiful. It has such a stunning table presence, and it's really accessible as well. If you've played like, you know, an entry level game like Carcassonne or something, this is a really solid next level to that. That's got a lot of room for heavy gamers to enjoy. There's like extra scoring mechanics and stuff that you can use, but you can also simplify it for first time gamers. And yeah, that's Gnome Hollow.
Nice.
It's great.
Yeah, I got a demo of it at Gamma Expo, and from Ammon himself, lovely human being, and just...
Oh, he's such a sweetie. I love that man so much. He's so nice.
So nice, and just seeing... You were talking about table presence. It's a gorgeous game, and I can't wait to play through the whole thing. But yeah, that's Gnome Hollow, our number two. We've got one more, and let's see if Richard's going to give us a chance to roast one of his games this time. Take it away, Richard.
Oh, this has been such a beautiful list. Chris, Verdant. Oh, we are simpatico. I'm right there with you. I actually made a list of 10, and Verdant is my number 9 on my personal list of spring style growing life, rebounds type games. And folks, if you would like to hear all of my top 10 spring-ish games, why don't you check out the extended edition of this show? There's a link for it down in the show notes, and you'll be able to, in the post show, hear what I thought And I'm sure Chris and Ray and Ruel will have a bunch of extras as well. So run, do not walk, to the show notes and jump over to the extended play, as we have a bunch more games to tell you about, including Chris's excellent choice, Verdant. And let's see, what else was there? Oh, Ruel, Mystic Veil. That's brilliant, man. It didn't even occur to me. But of course you're right. It is all about tending gardens in a kind of fantastical setting and watching life grow and protect it. Really? That might be a game of the list, quite frankly, because, Jen, I love Mystic Veil and all the expansions. It has gotten so big and rich. Nice choice. And Ray, Gnome Hollow. I'm glad to see I'm not the only one putting games that haven't actually come out yet on the list. This is a good choice. Actually, Ray, as you know, I stopped by the offices of the op when Jen and I were on the road last year, and I got to get an early sneak peek of Gnome Hollow, and this thing is potentially game-changing, folks. I don't think we will look at magnets in the board game industry the same way after we see this. I don't know if Ray has talked about it, but oh my gosh, the magnets. And the rest of the gameplay looks really, really nice, too. But what's number one on our combined list? Here's the deal. I am shocked that nobody else thought to mention this. Surely it must have been on somebody's mind, right? Because what else could there be besides Earth? There's Kimberly. She did a great run through for it on the channel. This game has everything. All the flora, all the fauna. So rich and deep and crunchy. And the thing that is so brilliant about Earth is it can give you such a huge, big box, expansive Euro-style feel in an hour or even less than an hour, because the whole game is simultaneous play. Every time you play, there's going to be a different selection of objectives that you're chasing after. And there is so much depth and variety in that big deck of cards representing all the different biomes of Earth, and it's your job to make sure all those cards sync together as you do this brilliant grid-based engine building that I absolutely adore. Me picking an action, everybody else getting to follow, but me doing the stronger one. This is a mechanism that's been with us forever, and this is one of the best examples ever. It's in my top 50 games of all time. It was my number one game of last year. Of course, the greatest game for ushering in spring has to be Earth. I'll tell you why else I'm excited about it, folks. Is right here. Earth Abundance. I've got my expansion. I'm so excited. Let's get some exclusives here. Hey, here is what the player aid looks like for folks who are interested. And it comes with some new tokens. Alrighty, I'm not quite sure what those things are. So I don't know what some of them are. And then, of course, a whole big deck of additional cards. I have to admit, I mean, this just showed up. I don't even know what all is new about this expansion, but here's a few cards. So, and as you can see, I mean, if it wasn't apparent why I'm choosing this as a spring game, I would imagine just how awesome these cards are with whatever new powers there are is going to be. I mean, if you're anything like me, you're just as excited as I am. And I just showed you about a third of the deck. And Earth. Earth is awesome. One of the best games of all time, quite frankly. And certainly the number one game for spring. Back to you guys.
So, yeah, excellent choice, Richard. I don't know why I didn't think of Earth to include this list. Maybe I just don't think spring. I just think Earth like this big, all-encompassing thing rather than specifically spring, you know.
When I think about Earth, I think really autumn. That's what I think.
Yeah. I didn't put this on my list because I knew Richard was going to pick this.
Yeah.
Like, that's no surprise. It was a game I thought of, but I was like, that's...
Yeah, no surprise there.
No surprises.
Yeah, not at all. I will say this, folks. Richard showed you the Abundance expansion. I also have it. So what we're doing, I don't know if he's said anything. I'm just going to spoil it right now. But he will be doing a run through on the channel real soon. And folks, over on my channel, I'll be live streaming as well. So be sure to tune in for that real soon here. That is our top 12 spring games, though. Let us know what yours are in the comments below. And be sure to check out the extended edition to find out all the games that Ray, Chris, and I, and Richard enjoyed or didn't talk about on this main list. But until next time, we'll see you later. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Floodgate Games for sponsoring this episode of the R&R Show. And until next time, we'll see you later, folks. Bye-bye.